He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, Dull? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Together we are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do? We give the people what they want. It is time for the weekend exclusive podcast. We always want to give you a dope pod to step to, so we decided that we're not just going to do five pods a week. We're going to do six. And this is your weekend pod you can listen to on Saturday when you do your errands, whether you're driving around, whatever you are up to. So, Jalen, there's something that I want to talk to you about. There's a new book from one of the writers of The Ringer about Giannis and his story. Great timing from her. Shout out to her. Sorry, I don't have her name on the tip of my tongue. But in this book, some excerpts were released. And they do not paint head coach Jason Kidd in a flattering light. There was some discussions about how he wanted them all to cancel their Christmas plans because they had a bad practice. Now, Jalen, J.K. sort of unceremoniously left the Nets. There's some interesting details in this book about his head coaching at the Bucks. If you are Luka Doncic and the Mavericks, how do you feel about these stories coming out as you're about to start a season with a brand new head coach, Jason Kidd?
I ain't worried about none. Jason Kidd entered the league the same year I did, 1994. When you've been around something for 30 years, you constantly evolve. You constantly grow. The times change and you change. And I just want to point out the example that you used. The example that you used, it doesn't paint a very flattering picture for the young players of the day to me. What do you mean? So I'm a bad guy because I want y'all to practice on Christmas? Like, is that what I heard you say? Was that the example you used?
Well, Jay.
You got to come with a better example than that.
Well.
Because, Let me ask you a question.
Well, Jalen.
Let me ask you a question.
There's some very important details that I wanted to get to about this story. I was just using that as an entry point to get to this. Apparently, Kidd loves water parks. I love water parks, too. I love them. There's an indoor water park in New Jersey. Me and the kids go there and crush it. Can't go on the weekend. I go during the week. However, Tyler Zeller had this to say about Jason Kidd. Said they had Kidd had an unhealthy obsession with water parks and would eat lunch at Pelican Cove Water Park 4 days a week. It's not that I don't enjoy water parks, but when someone is screaming at you to be this human inner tube for every ride of the park, you gotta start wondering what that has to do with basketball. Chris Middleton also thought that his water park infatuation was a plot to get single moms. Jalen Rose, what do you think about Jason Kidd's infatuation with water parks?
So there's a business element and then there's a professional element. And it seems like these two got married. And when that normally happens, everybody's not gonna see eye to eye on the result. And this is exactly, I'm telling you guys, I've been doing this my whole life, dog. If Eric Spoelstra decides that he wants to take his team to a water park and then they win the East, people are gonna act like it was the greatest thing ever.
Brilliant chemistry building.
That's just how this works. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That they showed up at the, how many times have you heard this? The team showed up, thought it was gonna have a 3-hour practice, and then the coach just took them to the movies.
Oh, I love him in the movies. You always hear him with the football team. The movie on the plane was Rocky. That's why they're coming out with Fight.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, remember the Titans is why they won this weekend. So here's the thing. This is literally one of those things you judge by the result. That's it. And if they were successful, we would say it was a great idea. And also, I got to tell you guys something. Shout to Milwaukee. I got love for Milltown. One of my coaches, who's like my big brother, Tony Jones, used to coach there. So I used to spend a lot of time there when I played for the Bulls. But I gotta tell you a secret. Ain't too many places to get it in Milwaukee. It ain't like him being on the Lakers.
Water, the water park
so
is
the idea. Spot. Yeah. So the idea, it ain't like it's 150 water parks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's the most notable water park that they have.
Well, four
that's
days
different.
A week, though, Jay?
That's
four
just
days
like
a week?
Hey, Dub, if I'm playing in Indiana, you're going to say, Jalen likes to eat at these two or three restaurants.
St. Elmo's.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right? You're going to say, Ruth Chris? You're going to say, I like to eat at these two or three restaurants. But when Jalen's in California, you don't know where I'm eating at. So by the way, when you started telling me like Jason Kidd, you know, has some negative excerpts in the book, I ain't know you was gonna go to this. I thought you was gonna go to like some X's and O's or like, you know, some Bobby Knight stuff that I didn't know about that happened. Like having meetings outside of the building, ladies and gentlemen, is normal. You meet with your coaches, you meet with your players all of the time. You meet with them at breakfast, you meet them at, do you guys know, after every practice and every game, each player, each agent, go ahead, 20 seconds.
I love this. This is Chris Middleton. One time in a game against Chicago, we were down two with a minute left,
there
and he calls a timeout.
There we go. This is what I want to hear.
And he calls a timeout. He starts drawing on the whiteboard, and we all think he's going to give us an inbounds play, but he turns the whiteboard around and says, wouldn't this be a great water slide? My friends in New York all laughed at me when I showed it to them, but I made some tweaks on the exit, and you land with a hot tub instead of a pool, which makes it so much awesomer.
Now that's strange, that's weird, and that's not what you want in a team huddle at a crucial time of a game. Now that's different. Now that's different. And I played on a lot of really good teams, and I played on a lot of bad teams. But let me tell you what you also always need to do. You also always need to reinvent what you say to your team. And there are times that coaches put silly stuff on the board. That happens. It's no different than it's the opposite of breaking the clipboard. How many clipboards has Steve Kerr broken? Like, do y'all actually think that's not premeditated? That's premeditated. It's like you looking around, making sure you don't hit nobody, making sure you're, am I gonna use my hand? And then you get the marker, you turn it upside down where the top is on it, and then it breaks, and everybody, oh, he's so upset. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just theater to me, dog. I'm telling you, like, people that's been around the game for so very long ain't gonna like take this as nothing, I promise you.
Well, it's all the result. If he does the water park clipboard thing and then they come back and hit a three and win the game, he's brilliant. He made the environment just casual and fun and took the pressure off the team with the water slide question.
Yeah.
And then that's his.
Correct.
But he's a Zen master. But if they lose the game, then it's like this dude's obsessed with water parks. That's what it is. That's all it is.
When Phil Jackson walks into his team and he tells Shaq to take off his shoes and socks, light these incense, Brian Shaw and them was looking at him like he was crazy. I was in the league, everybody else was too. But then all of a sudden they started winning. And they like, wait a minute, why ain't everybody doing this? As a matter of fact, why ain't every team running a triangle? Right, you remember that whole time when people were like, every team should be running a triangle, right?
Yes.
Quinn Buckner got a job in Dallas. It's like, why he ain't running a triangle? You know what I'm saying? So
triangle looks really good when you got Michael Jordan. Triangle offense looks really good when you got Michael Jordan. When you got Michael Jordan,
exactly.
Triangle offense looks brilliant. Triangle offense looks absolutely brilliant.
Hey, not a big deal.
We have an update on the P.J. Washington-Brittany Renner situation. P.J. Washington allegedly was asked to pay $200,000 a month in child support for his child. So I think that adds up to be about $43 million. But he, on Twitter, said stop the cap. So apparently he is denying that that is the case in this case. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
That's why I made sure I pay homage to the young brother. Take it from somebody that's paid child support for a couple of kids. That math is real. And that don't have to be the monthly number. Like 200K might not be the number. 20K might be the number. But when you add it up, it's still a big number.
4.3 million.
And I think the overarching thing that comes out of this story is that she allegedly secretly got a divorce 2 weeks after having the baby. And so that now becomes the caution tale that you heard LeVar Ball talk about years ago as it related to his sons and or athletes getting mixed up in the wrong relationships with people that may really just want you for your name, fame, and money and are willing to take advantage of you for each of them if they can. So the post that I also like that he did is about how much he actually loves his son. And what she has to watch for is everything that now gets reported, their son is going to be able to read it one day. Mm. So it's very important to be really protective of their baby. And I'm glad that he's doing that. If that number got out there, it clearly was not from him. I hope they find a common ground where they can still co-parent. Because guess what his son deserves? Two parents. Forget all of the money, forget all of the fame, forget all of that. His son deserves two parents. I believe he's gonna have that. And the money is not our issue. I just hope if he's able to do a settlement, that settlement lasts in perpetuity versus getting adjusted based on, see, I know way too much about this.
Yeah, like, explain to me.
By the way, the child support could get adjusted if he played for another team. State rules could be different.
Does it go, but can it
the support
get adjusted?
Can get adjusted.
Can it get adjusted if he gets cut from the team?
Yes. If he's making less, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And so they're at will states. For example, Indiana won, where they basically designate that they require both parents should be required to work and take care of the well-being of a son or a daughter. And then there are places like California who represent just the opposite. And so it'll be interesting for them, not for us. I'm disappointed that whatever the number was, it became public. Because I can almost bet anything that did not come from him.
It doesn't sound accurate either. I don't know how you can make a case where you need $200,000 a month to raise a child. That's kind of wild to me. That's kind of wild to me.
Jacoby, I got a newsflash for you. You can peel that onion back. You can pull the little ear off the corn. And you can say a lot of numbers that people feel like you just said don't add up to how much somebody should pay child support to raise a child. And it don't have to be $200,000.
I always joke with my wife, like we drive and we always see the lottery number billboards. And I'm like $176 million. So you're trying to tell me if I buy a lottery ticket for a dollar and I win $176 million, then we get divorced, that you're entitled to half of that. And she's just like, I supported you when you bought the ticket. Like, I supported you when you bought the ticket. You wouldn't have bought the ticket without my support. Like, half of it? Like, I'm the one who bought the ticket. I picked the numbers. I won the lottery.
Like, I drove the car before you drove the car to go buy the ticket. I made you breakfast that morning.
Yes, yeah, that's what you're saying.
So therefore, I woke you up this morning.
The only reason you had the free time to buy the ticket was because I was with the kids. Give me my 88 million. Give me my 88 million. I don't even have a time to argue with
her. We both know. We both know. Whatever you give Joey Jacoby ain't enough. We both know that.
She is the greatest, the absolute greatest. She's gone for 2 weeks for work, Jay. Single dad for 2 weeks, dog. 2 weeks, three kids, single dad.
I'm gonna have to come spend some time with you. She already gone?
No, she's leaving in September for a couple weeks. She's the greatest, she's directing an episode.
Okay, in September,
She's directing an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Remember Unsolved Mysteries? Remember Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah, that was a classic, yeah.
They brought it back. They brought it back, classic. And she's directing an episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, see here. So let me get this right. I'm now directing a show as it returns to the air. This show gets picked up and gets syndicated and gets syndicated like Wu-Tang and feeding and syndicated. And Joey Jacoby becomes a 100 millionaire. Do you now get half?
Yeah, that's how it works. One time I said to her, I was like, I was just joking. I was like, we should get a post nut, like thinking that she'd be mad at me or something. She's like, oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. She's like, oh, we'll do that tomorrow. She's like, oh, it's gonna be great for me. Oh, we should definitely get a post nut. And like when I saw her attitude, I was like, oh, maybe we won't. Maybe that's not. Maybe we won't do that. I expected it to go the other way. No. She was like, let's do that tomorrow. No. I'll get the lawyer on the phone.
She said, we can make that happen.
Yeah, I think those negotiations would lead to us getting divorced. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're doing great.
Correct.
But we start having those conversations, that's not good for the good for the relationship.
Yes.
Back to Summer League basketball. Correct. I got some bad news for a Jalen. I know you love your namesakes. I got some bad news for a Jalen. Jalen Green is leaving Summer League with some hamstring soreness. Now, I don't want to talk about the injury, that's whatever, but I do want to talk about his game. I was so impressed with both him and Cade, but specifically him, the way that he could shoot off the dribble, the sidesteps, the way he could get to the rack, defense. What do you think about what you saw from Jalen Green in this very brief Summer League stint?
His offensive package looks a lot like, and I'm not talking about the playing above the rim part, but below the rim, on the perimeter, his game reminds me a lot of CJ McCollum, the way he moves and the way he scores from different phases. And he can play off the ball as well. I clearly know he's more athletic. But I'm really impressed by these young people's maturity. And it's not just the NBA, the WNBA. Like, I watch these players come into the league and now even in the NFL. Like, when Aaron Rodgers, ladies and gentlemen, got drafted as a quarterback, he knew he was about to sit for a couple of years. Now we like, is Trevor Lawrence starting? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big seismic shift of what a first-round pick used to be required to do. And what allows you to do that is the preparation and the maturity of the young people at this early stage of their development. It is really remarkable. So I'm hoping for him to get healthy. It's a hamstring injury, which those can be tricky. Those definitely can linger. You saw that with James Harden this past year. So I hope they take their time and just let him heal and get 100%. He's going to have a fantastic career.
I'm glad you mentioned rookie quarterbacks, because this weekend, taking the field will be Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields. Of that quartet, who do you think will end up having the better career? Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, or Fields?
Well, that's a lot of people. Hold on. Lawrence.
Oh, he got the pen out. Trevor Fields. Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I'm sorry to hit you with this. I know it's very confusing.
I'm going Justin Fields.
Me too. Why?
I'm going Justin Fields because I saw him be all purpose at Ohio State. And here's what I mean. He got a great arm, but he can also run too. And Maybe because my team didn't get any pressure on them. I just remember I was at one of those games, and I remember thinking, if you don't get pressure on him, he's gonna complete it every single time. I was like, dog, this dude walking the football 30 yards and putting it in people's hands. I'm going with him. Now, and also a lot of being a great player has to do with your circumstances and the people around you. Trevor Lawrence, I think, would be my answer, except he plays for Jacksonville and they have more building to do and they're gonna rely on him more. Kind of like the Bengals relied on Joe Burrow to throw so much. Mm-hmm. But with Justin Fields, Chicago always wants to be a team that plays defense, gets turnovers, and doesn't turn the football over offensively. And you said it going into the draft. Justin Fields already is the best quarterback in the history of the Bears.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Already.
It already is. Already, based on one throw in practice. I was like, oh, best quarterback in the history of the franchise.
Exactly.
And their defense is so good.
Exactly.
Like, I think when you look at these four quarterbacks, you think about the situation they're in and the other players on their team and their coach. That's why I also have Trey Lance at number two, because I really believe in Kyle Shanahan and his ability to drop running plays. You know what I mean? Like they always have a great running game. They have a great running game, which takes pressure off of Lance. And also, when you have a great running game, you get more time in the pocket. You get more time to throw. Play action becomes that much more effective. That's why I have Lance at number two on this list. And you look at the Jets and the Jags, like, when was the last time you felt really great about either of those franchises? The Jags went to the AFC Championship against the Patriots a while ago. But, like, I got to see more from them. Jalen Rose, I love Mountain Dew. I don't drink soda anymore, but I was a big Mountain Dew guy back in the day. They're coming out with hard Mountain Dew with malt liquor in it. Your thoughts?
That's nasty. Because as somebody that's drank a lot of malt liquor and has drank a lot of Mountain Dew, those are different suds. That's a different acid going into you. Those don't go together. They just don't go together. I don't like it at all.
Now, we're going to get to your voicemails, but before we do, we want to play the full unedited interview with Boldy James and Alchemist. Boldy James and Alchemist, full interview right here. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is having guests exclusive on
it's
the TV show and the podcast. Jalen, who is joining us today?
It's a family affair. First off, buffed up Detroit in the house with the fisherman on, the chancellor of the ambassador. My guy, Boldy James is in the building, a.k.a. Bo Jackson. Two-sport athlete, if you know, you know. And the other gentleman will be in the Hall of Fame. He's produced for some of your favorite artists. He's just such a young legend. You can call him Al if he likes you, but I'll call him Alchemist because we're professionals. Welcome to the program, gentlemen. We appreciate the love.
Thank you, man. Good to see you guys, man. It's been a minute.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time. Boldy, first question is for you. What can fans expect from your sixth project from 2020, Bo Jackson?
It's one of my best projects yet up to date. I'm just excited to be back working with Al. And we've been cooking, man. You know, we've been in the kitchen and, you know, everything been coming off the press heat rock.
And Al, I mentioned that you're a seasoned veteran, a young legend in a lot of ways. I remember kicking it with you at the We Gon' Make It video. And so now to see you rocking with my guy, Boldy James, it really makes me happy. What excites you about working with Bo?
Rappers like get in the studio with him. I'm just excited to hear what he's about to say. I'm genuinely one of his biggest fans. So, you know, been a minute, we've been rocking together, but when I got back up with him, he's just updated his stuff so crazily that I think nobody can mess with him right now. So, and he's making Detroit look good. He's making all of us look good.
Boldy, you're about as Detroit as they come. Now, I know you're excited about Cade Cunningham joining the Pistons. What do you expect from the number one pick next season with the Pistons?
Oh, I expect buckets. You know what I'm saying? I expect buckets, and I expect more wins out of the guys, man. You know, we just need to raise that Lion team spirit. And, hey, Detroit, we can make Detroit great again, you know?
Baldy, I got to ask you a follow-up about Cade, because I was working the draft. And when the young fella pulled the bus out, I was like, 313 is in the building. We've arrived. So what was it like for you when you saw the number one pick put on for the city like that?
You know, I had to rep for the guys, man. You know what I'm saying? Detroit, stand up, buffed up, man. You know where we at with it, man, in the city. You know how we play it, Jay.
Now, Al, you grew up in Los Angeles. Time to talk about your Lakers. How do you feel about Russell Westbrook, the new addition to your team?
I mean, to be honest, I couldn't be happier. He's an L.A. native, so it's just going to hit different. You know, he's home. He gets to play in his home court. You know, it's something special about growing up in the city and then being able to play for that team. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about the new acquisitions. Of course, he's going to go crazy. And, yeah, I want to go to some games. I'll be there.
Al, so the Clippers added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The Lakers added LeBron James and AD, but they haven't faced each other in the playoffs just yet. So as a longtime Laker fan and somebody that grew up 10 toes down there, what do you say for the people who feel like the Clippers have a chance to finally not only win a championship, but to hope to make it a Clipper town?
I mean, the second part is a tall order. Let's say last year they came very close, and I feel like they really had a shot last year. But I think this year it could get interesting. I'm a Laker fan by heart. It's always a tough one. Like it was cool. I was rooting for them last year, but I, my guys were out. But you know, it's tough, man. It's like, you know, New York. You know, you're going to be a Brooklyn Nets fan if you're a Knicks fan. It's You're happy to see them do good, but I'm Lakers all the way.
Boldy, I see the Griselda Records chain. We're big fans of Griselda here, Jalen and Jacoby. For those that don't know, what is the connection between Boldy James and Griselda Records?
It's family ties, man. You know, Al connected me with the guys, and, you know, me and Wes and Benny and Wade, you know what I'm saying? We just rocked off from get-go, like, I understand those guys. They remind me of where I come from. You know what I mean? It's like Gunn always say, Buffalo and Detroit. You know, they one and the same. So, you know, shout out to the whole Griselda team. We just moving how we moving, man. Everything, you know, up and running. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, like I say, I'm back to work, Jay. You know what I'm saying? You know how it feels.
Absolutely. 90 East to 94. I was listening to the album yesterday, guys. Heard Freddie Gibbs, heard Benny the Butcher. I have to ask you, Al, the one thing I've always appreciated about your work is sonically, your projects are always outstanding. And now when I hear you with Boldy's bars, it just took me to a different level. So tell the fans what they can expect from this album sonically.
I wanted to like take it a little further than the last one. I always feel like we're all works in progress. So I'm a constant student. Like I listened to stuff last year and feel like I've gotten better. So I feel like with Boldy continuing to get better, and it's, you know, everything is timing. It's just like on that court, it's really about timing. And I think right now is a unique time, because once he linked with Griselda and we kind of put all these powers together, and now you got Boldy rapping at this level on a competitive scale with excluding no rapper. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. For me, I think on this album, you're going to hear the height of what you could do in you know, on a beat, on one of my beats, and the grit, the reality of the stories of a guy who grew up in Detroit from the grit. So, you know, lock in, put your seatbelt on.
So I'm gonna hear from both of you on this question, but Al, we'll start with you. Just what were your thoughts of Dipset versus Lox?
Man, it was incredible. What a moment. You know, what a great moment for us, our generation, and even the young guys to just see, you know, the art of rapping on that level in front of a crowd, commanding a crowd, or holding a microphone, saying your lyrics. You know, those are both of my guys. I've worked with both of them, you know, but it was amazing, man. Jadakiss was in a different bag, and it's just kind of cool to see him getting all this love and his flowers at this moment. But we all knew he was already always that great. But let's also give a lot of respect to Dipset, because, man, those records were timeless, you know? So it was just a great moment for hip-hop, I think, and just for all of us.
Goldie?
It was just fun to watch, and it brought back a lot of memories of, like, just being big fans of Dipset and the Lox. And I've always been a big Jadakiss fan. I actually have a record with Jadakiss and Westside Gunn, so, you know, I've always been a big Juelz fan, you know, a big Cameron fan, you know, and it just was an exciting moment to watch, you know what I mean? I enjoyed it a lot, that's what I, you know what I mean? I'm a fan of the culture, so, you know, that era was a great era in hip-hop, and, you know, it just was fun to relive, like, you know, those times.
Hey, Boldy, so every time we leave the 313, we don't have to even open our mouths sometimes to people to know that we representing. And you've been a part of Detroit hip hop really just exploding. So for people that aren't from Detroit, can you bring them behind the scenes of what it was like for you as the Detroit hip hop scene has now continued to grow and become what it is right now?
You can relate to this, Jay. It's like it's like being a left-handed guard in a league full of righties. And you know, I got left-hand buckets for the guys, so you know.
Boldy, to that point, you've done some interviews and mentioned your own basketball game. Are you out here getting buckets? You playing pickup? What is your game like?
Al will tell you, I'm money on the court. I mean, you know, a lot of the young guys, they still can't do nothing with me on the court. I probably done lost a step or three, but, you know, in my prime, I would have gave J. Rose $81.
Okay. Hey, Al. And that's a nod to your guy, Kobe Bryant, and your Lakers. I'm his caddy, no doubt, Boldy. So, Al, who are some of the best rappers that you've seen play basketball, or artists in general?
I'm not gonna lie, man. Boldy James is up there. He impressed me the last time we played. Like, he still got his jumper. He's aggressive in the key. Like, Boldy actually could have been really great. Other players that let me remember who was really great in basketball. Freddie Gibbs is nice. Freddie Gibbs could play. Rock Marcy got a decent dribble. Bam Bam Action got a wet jumper. Action can shoot. He's a long ranger. So yeah, you'll be surprised. A lot of us, we get busy. I got a little, they used to call me Hornacek. You know what I mean? That was my
yeah.
I forgot about Quinn, Al.
Fast, I pull up quick, you know. I gotta get the shot off.
I said, well, listen, forgot about Quinn Gambino, Al.
That's right. Oh, Twin, yeah, Twin from Infamous Mob, he's real nice. There's a handful of guys.
Hey, Baldy, I want to ask you something about the creative process. So, like, as a solo artist, it's one thing when you're about to get on a track and lay down your vocals or whatever. But how is it when you're on a posse track or when you got somebody joining you on a song? What is that process like? Do you hear their verse first? Have there been times you heard their verse and had to change yours? Like, bring us behind the curtain of that process.
It's just, you know, it's like sibling rivalries, you know what I mean? Like, me and the guys, we creatively challenge each other to just be better, you know what I mean? So a lot of times, I don't hear the verse first. A lot of times, they get my verse first. You know, I go in, and then they follow up and try to, you know, match the energy, you know what I mean? And You know, I don't fret to go in the booth. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't care about what nobody else, you know, about to go in there and do. I just go in there and do my thing and be the best Bo Jackson I can be in. You know, it's been working for me.
Well, we are so excited about Bo Jackson. This moment right now, my final question for you, Al, is in this moment right now, you've put out so many projects over your career. When you're about to just watch the bird fly out of the nest and hit the world, what does that feel like?
It's such a crazy feeling. All morning I woke up, it was like, you know, the first day of school, or if you're going to go to an amusement park as a kid, you're like, I almost laid out my outfit. You know, it's always a weird feeling because you press that button and it goes live and, you know, they're listening to it in Belgium and in like other parts of the planet. So it's like, we still get high off that. But I will say once it's out, I don't listen to it anymore. That's for everybody else. I'm on to the next. Because we listen to it a lot when we work on it. So it's for everyone else. Tonight, you press the button and then let's go.
Well, we appreciate you guys joining us. We one call away anytime. Boldy, I'll see you in the city. I'm going to continue to harass you until I get my hoodies, and I'm going to get you on the court. Now I'm going to take you to the post. Nah.
Hey, just meet me up at the barbershop, and then we can take it from there. You know what I'm saying?
Done, and done. All love and respect. Appreciate y'all.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate it.
Love you guys. Respect.
We always want to hear from you. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can be part of the show. So right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail about anything, and we'll answer it. We always love to hear from you. We have time for one voicemail today. Let's get it.
Hello, this is Kareem from San Francisco. You said press pause, hold off, so that's what I'm doing. Shout out, Reg. I have a question. Soft move or fast move? I'm from New York City. I moved out to California. I realize I like the sun. I like not, you know, walking to the grocery store. I like not having snow hitting me. And I think I'm just, you know, done with New York. Is it soft to leave your home and go to a nice sunny place and just become a suburban person? Let me know. Keep getting them checks. Thanks.
Whatever makes you happy is a boss move. Knowledge of self, self-awareness. If you're happier out there, be happy. Whatever makes you happy is always a boss move. Jalen, your thoughts?
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. Representing San Fran via New York City. And your question is this a soft move or a boss move? I'm going to tell you why this is an absolute boss move. I think Styles said it. He said, gangsters don't die. They get chubby and move to Miami. People from the Midwest and the East Coast, as they start to get older and realize how many days and how much time you fist fight with the weather, in particular the snow and the ice, if you get a chance to be what I call a snowbird. You see, if people from the Midwest, you see a lot of Midwesterners in Florida and in Georgia. You see a lot of New Yorkers in Miami. You see a lot of New Yorkers in California. You see a lot of each of those places in Phoenix. People migrate to where it gets warm because it's just better for your bones.
It's just better.
Just better for your bones. It's better for your lifestyle. It's a better lifestyle.
One day I walked outside of New York City, walked out the office building. It was windy and cold, and it made my face hurt and my bones rattle. And I was like, what are we doing here? How did human beings settle here? Why are we here? The Earth is trying to kick us out of this area. Let's go towards the equator. What are we doing here?
And I got to tell you one more thing before we go. Florida, no state taxes. Arizona, cheaper. New York City, way too expensive. You can have $1 million apartment and it'd be a half bed, half bath.
Oh, yeah, no such thing as a million dollar apartment.
Roaches and rats.
I want to thank Boldy James and Alchemist for coming through. Appreciate them so much. Go get Bo Jackson. We'll be back on Monday talking about all the football and the action from the weekend. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.